be able to gather together. It's great to be able to get into God's Word. And I want to encourage you, if you're not a part of a small group, to please consider getting in touch with us and becoming a part of one. You could talk to Jess, could talk to Laura, talk to myself after the service. We want to be able to do life together. So as much as we do that in part here, it is wonderful to be able to journey hand in hand with one another in small groups and really get into some of the nitty and gritty of life, sharpen one another through those things. And so please consider that. The other thing is, just want to acknowledge all the women at New Beginnings. They do an amazing job. And they've got an incredible community there. There's also a wonderful opportunity for you to get involved if you can, volunteer at New Beginnings. Specifically, I think they're looking for a Thursday, but they need volunteers. And so it's a beautiful, it's a small group in itself, really, in many ways, and they love on one another. They've had an incredible missional heart. But if that's something that you are available to do, I would encourage you and urge you to really seriously consider it. Talk to Barb to get more information on that. But it is a wonderful, wonderful ministry and something to be a part of. So continue to pray for that. The other thing I want to highlight to you is Pat Mortimer. She is, I don't think she's here today, but on the 16th, which is only 3 days away, she is going to be 90 years old. So, Pat, if you're joining us at home, or hopefully if we see you through the week, please wish her a very, very happy birthday. Can we give her a round of applause anyway? She is a beautiful, beautiful part of our church family. And so it's wonderful to remember, especially big milestones like that. The other thing just to remind you of is that we have a members' budget meeting on the 24th of June. And so that's coming up in not this coming Thursday, but the Thursday after that, 7 p.m. We've got a bunch of details out in the foyer in terms of the agenda and everything for that. And so if you are a member, please, please make that a priority. I'm really, really excited to be able to gather together and share with you there. If you're not a member and you want more information, please come and talk to me or get in touch with the office during the week. And I'd love to talk to you about membership, what it means, what it looks like here at Enfield Baptist Church. But what I'd encourage you to do is, if you've got your Bibles, I hope you do, whether it's a hard copy or just your soft copy, I would love for you to open up to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John is right at the back of the Bible. If you pretty much go to the very end, you'll get to Revelation. It's just before that. You've got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then Jude. And so have a look at that. 1 John chapter 4. And let's pray together as we dive into this. And I'm going to encourage you to continue to pray, like we talked about last week. Continue to be praying Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. These are just incredible, incredible verses for us to be praying over one another. And I hope that as you continue to do that, and as you've been doing that, that you will very much experience the love of God in an even more wonderful and powerful way as we engage with Him. And so let's pray right now. Lord, we pray so much that you would deeply root us and establish us in love. We pray that we would be, Lord, grounded in the love of Christ towards us. I pray that, Lord, you would give us power to be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. I pray that you would give us the ability to know your love that is beyond knowledge, and to be able to live in all of this stuff so that we would be filled with all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. And so this morning I pray that you would challenge us, that you would teach us, that you would refine us, that you would wrap us and enfold us in your love, but so that we would then be people that love deeply and love genuinely and authentically, because you have first loved us. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, I got to tell you that as we've come into this series, Love Changes Everything, talking about This Is Love today, Love Changes Everything, I've been wrestling with this series, been wrestling with what it actually means for us to consider His love and how it changes everything. As a preaching team, we met a couple of weeks back and we discussed things, and then Aaron and I had a further chat about where we're heading over the course of these coming weeks and then the months ahead. And this is challenging stuff. You know, often when we think about love, we think of how his love just enfolds us like a big pillow, and it's beautiful to be able to rest in that. But that's not where God's love leaves us. He doesn't leave us the same. Love constantly changes us, especially when we're talking about the wide, the long, the high and deep love of God towards us. It changes us. And so it will change the way we love and then show love to other people. And so if love changes everything, which is what the whole theme of this series is, if love changes everything and we then sit in that love of God towards us and receive it, then we need to also ask ourselves as we go right through this series, what then has changed for me? If love changes everything, what then has changed? How is the love of Jesus continuing to change and challenge me? To change us as we follow him? And as you consider these questions, that they are challenging questions. And I've been confronted with these as we've talked about this throughout the week and as I've sat in what it means to do this, because I think that somehow, even in the Christian life, we have bought into the wrong version of love and what love looks like and what love is. And we've bought into it by the standards of the world and what this world says love is and looks like, rather than what it actually is and looks like by the one who created it and sets the standard in the first place. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, which is our text for the day, if you've got your Bibles, have a look at this. It says this. It says, let us love one another. These words aren't going to be on the screen this morning. They're in your Bible. Love, it says, 1 John 4 verse 7 says, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Love comes from him. And so it is from him that we discover what love is and what love looks like. Over the next couple of weeks, Casey and then Jess are going to expand on this as they look at 1 Corinthians 13 and they look at what love looks like, that it is kind, that it is patient, that it does not envy, that God is the one who defines what love is and he is the one who reveals what it looks like. Because God is love, as this verse says, God is love, and which we saw, you know, last week is beyond our full knowing and comprehension, and yet we can still know it in part. We can still know it in part. So basically, this means that love when it talks about God is love, it's essentially meaning that love is an essential attribute of God. Love is something true about God, but it is not who God is. Okay, God is love, but love is not God. Instead, it simply expresses the way that God is, as do the words his holiness or his justice or his faithfulness. And so God always, always acts like himself. He cannot be anything other than he is. And so he cannot be anything other than loving and anything other than holy and anything other than just. All of these attributes work in perfect harmony with one another. And I find that the most beautiful thing to consider, right? Because we have the tendency to overemphasize one of these attributes at the detriment of the other in our own lives. And so we push things towards love so much that we forget about justice. Or we push things so much towards justice that we forget about love and faithfulness. And instead, God holds all of these things in perfect harmony, which is super, super important for us to realize, because a lot of the ways that we talk about or we describe the word love is nothing like what it actually means. You know, we use the term love to describe the way we feel about all sorts of stuff. When in reality, as I was thinking about it, I think in reality we really just like it a whole lot. Like, as an example, I love coffee, right? I don't just love coffee, but I love the beach, I love a nice glass of wine, I love the burgers at Hungry Jack's, and I especially love all of these things when I can experience them all sitting on my swag next to a fire staring at the stars at night, right? Like, I love that. But in reality, that's not love, especially as defined by God or the eight ancient Greek words that constantly used throughout the New Testament for love, like pragma, which is about the enduring long love of God. I don't have long love towards my swag and my fire, or philia, the affectionate love of God, or agape, the selfless love. These things aren't described like that. Instead, what I'm really saying is I just really, really like that stuff. And I like it because it brings me pleasure. I enjoy it. But you see, when that is the way we use and describe love, which we seem to do a lot, right, in our conversations, in all sorts of things, we say how much we love stuff. But then that overflows into the way that we say, and we end up loving people. It ends up revolving around us. That rather than loving them with wide, accepting love, we end up discriminating, depending on how it pleases us, or whether or not loving them is going to be beneficial to us. That rather than loving others with long, everlasting love, as God loves us, then instead we withhold it and we withdraw it depending on how we are benefiting from or enjoying that relationship at the time. We pull back. That rather than loving others with deep self-sacrificial love, we might sort of be happy to sacrifice some of ourselves for some people, if we think that they might do the same for us, or if we somehow deem them deserving of it, but not for those who don't. Certainly not for those who are against us in some way. But this is challenging to the core, because the love of God shows us a very, very different way. It is radical. And love comes from God, and God is love, which means that he is continually giving of himself to others and seeking their benefit, regardless of how they may or may not respond to him. I'll say that again, that is incredibly challenging. God continually gives himself to others and seeks their benefit, regardless of how they may or may not respond to him. And his love shows us a very different way. It is radical, and it is a radically different sort of love to the sort of superficial, fleeting love that the world and anyone in it offers, and even as that we as Christians seem to replicate at times. His love is nothing, absolutely nothing like the love that we will experience from one another. Though we might be able to experience it in part as we walk hand in hand with him and his love fills us through the Spirit, it will never compare to the love of God. And love always shows itself in action. It always shows itself in action. Love is not just some beautiful abstract idea or principle. It is demonstrated tangibly by what one does. And this, it says in 1 John 4:9, it says, this is how God showed his love amongst us. This is how God showed his love amongst us. This is how he displayed how much he loves us. It says he sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. So God's love initiates. He acts first, regardless of how we might respond. That is love. Like, that is a real blow your mind away love. And it is seriously astounding and beautiful, but it is seriously confronting to us and what we think love is. Because it goes on and it says in chapter 4, verse 10, it says, this is love. This is love. So this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So again, he initiates. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son, regardless, as the sacrifice for our sins, atoning for us. And so did you hear what that said? It says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, but that he loved you, and he loved me, not that we loved him. You know, this is so radically different to the love of this world. So radically different. Because unlike us, he's not assessing whether or not someone is deemed worthy of his love or not. Or he's not assessing whether or not they are going to respond to his love and his kindness before he extends his love and grace. He already knows we are not worthy of it, that there is nothing in us to make him love us, that we have not loved him first, but that he has loved us first. You know, I think that this is one of the more difficult things at times for us to remember, especially like if we've been in the church for a long time, or we've grown up going to church and with the Christian stories, that we do not naturally choose him and or love him. It's just not our natural bent. But that what we really choose and love first and foremost, apart from the grace of God, is ourselves. To put ourselves first. To step on and over others in order to get what we want and do what pleases us. Because our natural bent, apart from his grace, desperately desires to go our own way rather than his. To live for ourselves rather than him. It is not that we loved God, but it is that he has loved us. You know, in Jeremiah 17, there's a bunch of verses that talk about this. Jeremiah 17, 9, it says, the heart, so our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is the state of anyone apart from the grace of Jesus. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? In Isaiah 64, 6, it says, we are all infected and impure with sin when we display our righteous deeds. So the best stuff that we can muster, they are nothing but filthy rags because they're still tainted with selfishness. Self-gratification, where really I might be doing kind things, but it's to exalt or for my own benefit in some way. In Romans 3, verse 10 to 11, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks God. That is our condition apart from the love and kindness and grace of God towards us. It is not that we loved God, but that despite our complete and utter selfishness and lostness, our sin, how it ruins us, and our ongoing rejection of him, that he still, despite all of this, he chooses to love you. He chooses to love me. And he sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins to demonstrate his love towards us. As Romans 5, 8 says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. So that whoever would trust in him and his complete and utter finished work done for us at the cross, we would be washed, we would be cleansed, we would be made whiter than snow, adopted and brought near and loved on in the most beautiful way, so that we might be transformed from the inside out and instruments of his love to a lost world, so that we would display the same love that God has displayed to us, so that we might see a world, see how we love one another and give glory to God and seek Him for themselves because of the transformation that He's made in our lives. That is love. And it's love like that that changes things. You know, in order for us to see and understand and grasp how great God's love is for us, then perhaps today we need to first understand and remember our brokenness apart from Him. That we are all desperately, desperately in need of His grace. We are desperately in need of His love. And maybe we need to understand that afresh today. Not so that we sit there and we wallow in our sinfulness, but so that His grace and His love is magnified in us and we think a little bit less of ourselves and more and more and more of what He has done for us, how He has initiated, so that His love might be displayed better through us. You know, as I've wrestled through all of this, I've been confronted this week personally with my own sinfulness. As you consider the love that God displays towards me and how I just so easily withhold love from other people. We all do this. My own selfishness, my pride that exalts myself and then fails to love others the way that I have been loved as one who has been greatly loved by God, even though there is nothing in me that is lovely and deserves it. He loves me undeservedly. I'm undeservedly loved, and it's because He loves me. It's because He loves you, despite all of this, that it changes things. It changes things for us. His love, as Casey shared, His love is unconditional, in that He loves us regardless of whether or not we love Him back. And even if we continue to spit in His face and ignore and reject His love, He will continue to love you. But His love will have no effect on your life until you respond to Him and you receive His love for yourself. But yet He still chooses to love us anyway. You know, He still chooses to love us anyway, even though some people will never receive it. You know, and we see this is really the same sort of thing that's true in our own relationships. When we see that love is a choice and God is making a continual choice to love us. You know, because there are days, right, that I naturally just don't feel like loving other people. Even those closest to me, it might come as a surprise, right? But there's days where I don't wake up and just feel so in love with my wife. There's days where she wakes up and doesn't just feel so in love with me, because, to be honest, I can be pretty hard to live with at times, right? We all can. But instead, there is a choice that needs to be made, that we love one another because we have committed ourselves to one another. So we make the choice that regardless of how we feel, we are committed. And so we choose to love one another regardless of that. And God continues to choose to love us. We see this with God all the time. And if love comes from God, and God is love, and this is love that He sent His one and only Son into this world so that the world might live through Him and love through Him, then we also ought to love one another. And that means making the choice to put ourselves aside as Christ put Himself aside and to say, okay, I'm going to choose to love you because I have been greatly loved by Jesus, even when I least deserve it. You know, this is not just nice, fluffy sort of love. When we feel like it, it is costly. And this love comes from God, and it's being poured out on us through Jesus Christ, his Son. And it is made possible when we are filled with his Spirit, the Spirit of God, who is the fullness of God that lives in us. This is what it goes on and says, chapter 4, verse 13. It says, and this is really the prayer of Ephesians 3, so that we would know his love and enjoy the fullness of God in us. 1 John 4:13 says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. It says he has given us his Spirit, and he has given, because he has given us his Spirit. Therefore, the way that we continue to live as those who have gladly received his love is by living in the Spirit of God. And it goes on in verse 16 and says, and so we know and rely on the love of God towards us, or on the love God has for us. And so we never get past, as Christians, we never get past relying on the love of God towards us. Of his ongoing choice to love us. Because God is love. And so we rely on his love day in, day out, for our own acceptance, and also for his power and for his grace to then love others and choose to love them the way that he has loved us. Because I've got to tell you, we cannot do that. We cannot love anyone the way God has loved us apart from the love and grace and power of God within us. It is impossible. But it is possible as his Spirit continues to change us and transform us and mold us by his love into the people he wants us to be. And so as we finish this morning, and as we continue to consider how love changes everything, how God initiates, God takes that first step and he initiates this incredible, overwhelming, amazing love. And we consider how love changes everything. How is his love changing you? How is his love changing you? Because it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with Jesus. His love should continually be changing us more and more into the likeness of him. And what 1 John really says is the way we measure our love for God is by the way we love one another. The way we measure our love for God is by the way we love on one another. That is challenging to the core. And so I want to give you a moment just now as the band comes, and we're going to sing in just a moment, but to consider if love changes everything, if God's love changes everything, right now ask, Lord, how is your love changing me? How is your love changing me? And just sit in this for a few moments. And listen to his voice. What is he saying to you? What is he bringing to your mind? And let's pause and sit in this before I close and pray. And then we sing how great his love is. Let's pray. If the love of God changes everything, how is it changing you? How is it changing me? Lord, I pray that we would not ignore this. I pray that we would have fresh perspective of how great your love is, how great your love is, that your love endures forever. And that, Lord, as we gladly receive this at times, I pray that then we would not withhold it or be reluctant to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow you by loving others deeply and genuinely the way you have loved us. But Lord, this has to flow from your love within us and not by anything else. And so I pray that you would do deep, profound work in us, that we would know how greatly you love us in the depth of our being, how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is towards us. I pray that we would be deeply rooted and established in love, that we would know your love that is beyond knowledge, in order that we would be filled with all the fullness of Christ Jesus and therefore love one another as you have loved us. We praise you and thank you for your love. Lord, we are so undeserving, and yet your love transforms us, adopts us as children, and then exalts us, gives us a name and an inheritance that is set and secure, a hope that is eternal because Jesus Christ, you have risen from the dead. And so I pray that we would live in light of this. Live in and rely on the love of God towards us. In your name, Jesus, amen. And so let's sing, declare how great his love is, and then walk in love for one another. Thanks, Case.